First of all, tell me a little bit about your background. When you were growing up, how politically active was your family here in Chattanooga?
Well, not real active. I had an aunt was real active. She was a bad word. She was a Democrat. And she actually went to the national convention, I think, in, must have been, I went in maybe in 68, so I think maybe 64, whatever the Democrat. And she was a delegate, you know. She was very active.
What is it you currently do for a living?
I'm currently retired. I have a business, embroidery business, a design business that I did for about the last 10 years. And I semi-do things for my fraternity and some personal things I do for myself, my business.
Yes. Okay. And perhaps this is the most important question of all. Why is it you've decided to run for mayor of Chattanooga?
I'm running for mayor to make a difference. And I will assure the people, when elected, I'm going to make a difference because I'm going to live in public housing for the next 2 years. Because we're going to make public housing as safe and convenient an environment just like we would East Brainerd or Hickson complex. I mean, obviously, things have gone bad in public housing. And I know why things are going bad, because of mismanagement or no management. So obviously, things are going to have to be retooled in public housing, as well as city government. I want to make a difference. I see a need. I think Chattanooga's grown. And nobody in the world should be able, or think they're able, to buy a government with money. I will put my faith in the people, the issues that are concerning the people of America, especially of Chattanooga.
What is your experience in Chattanooga city government specifically?
Oh, man. When I was in college, I was a supervisor on the NYC program, Neighborhood Youth Corps. Did that for a couple of years. I worked in the Department of Public Works and under Superintendent James Templeton for a couple of years, and had a transition of new commissioner. So, you know, we had to We move on from one job to the next job. And in my college days, I was a clerk in the police department. And Mayor Roberts, he was commissioner of fire and police. And he said, "Don't you want to be a police officer?" I said, "Oh, no, sir." I said, I was really enjoying being a clerk and going to college. And I went up under the LEAP, Law Enforcement Assistance Program. I got my associate degree in law enforcement from Cleveland State. And also I got my BS from University of Tennessee at Chattanooga in criminal justice. And from there, I left there and went to work for Roadway for a while because it was paying a lot more money than the clerk was, and I still could go to college. And I left there, Roadway, and I got hired in the Chattanooga Fire Department. I spent 10 years in the fire department, 10 wonderful years. Good job, good people. But it wasn't a lot, an awful lot of money. So I had one kid, and he was beginning to grow up, and he was going to OLPH, and he was going to be transitioning to Notre Dame, and so from that college. And so I went into private business.
Who inspires you as a leader, and what is your leadership experience?
Who inspires me as a leader? Senator Bill Brock. He's my man. I cut my teeth on him. Senator Brock. Leadership. I volunteered with Boy Scouts of America, Troop 922, and I volunteer my time to encourage black churches to incorporate scouting in their churches. And most of the time they say they don't have any funds. And I say, okay, well, we'll get a sponsor, you know. And then they say, well, and I say, you're going to have to go to leadership course training. They say, oh, then that becomes a problem. So, but I've always tried to be an environmentalist and do good for my community. And I always try to make politicians be held accountable. And especially African-American politicians. I think, you know, we expect so much of society, but if we are not on the right footing, how do you think the overall community look at us as a race of people when we have African-American politicians doing totally just the opposite of good?
Tell me about your most significant professional accomplishment to date.
Oh, man. I guess raising my son and seeing him graduate from College of William and Mary and go on to a year at the College of Exeter in England. And that has been my greatest, me and my wife, me and Brenda's greatest yes. accomplishment. But in business, I have always given back to this community. Nobody, no black person in the city of Chattanooga can never say that Chester Heatington has never given back. I give to Howard, and people say, well, why are you so involved with kids at Howard? You know, you didn't go to Howard, but it's not the point. These kids who need help, and obviously sometimes the alumni is not as generous as they should be. And when if I see an opportunity, I'm going to help. The little girl who was a track star, beautiful little kid, the first time I seen her, I didn't believe that was her. And I went out and bought her, Esther Mom, I went out and bought her a bunch of sports bras and running shorts because she did not have them when nobody providing the type of things that she should have as a young girl. So I'm a guy, if you ask me, I will support any worthy cause of any worthy kid.
Chattanooga has received a lot of praise for its gigabit per second internet service, but it's also received some criticism from people who question the large sum of public money that's being spent on a service that relatively few people actually use. What would you do as mayor to capitalize on the ultra-high-speed internet that's in our city?
I think it's good if it was private. The city government has no business being in the private sector. Government doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, we're in it. But I think down the road, whatever breaks down this fiber optics, it's going to be real, real, real expensive. And who's going to bear the burden? It's the taxpayers. You know, we have the Bessie Smith Hall, which should be sold. We had one mayor who built a hotel. I don't know, you know, Chattanooga. I mean, you know, city government is not in those business to run business. They're service, a government service entity. And what I would do, I would actually look for ways of selling that fiber optic system off to the highest bidder, as I would with the Chattanoogan and the Bessie Smith Hall.
On the subject of affordable housing in Chattanooga, the Chattanooga-Hamilton County Regional Planning Agency released a housing study last year. That study recommends the city offer reduced fees, streamlined review, and density bonuses for projects that incorporate affordable housing. Should the city offer tax breaks or bonuses to developers who create affordable housing?
Yes, because these guys are making a huge sacrifice. And they're in investing in the city. And we do need affordable housing for people. I am looking at an infrastructure bank for affordable housing. This will be one entity along with the private sector.
Okay. On the subject of Chattanooga's budget, federal grant money for public policy is becoming increasingly precarious. Is there anything that you could do as the potential mayor of Chattanooga to make our city less dependent on money from the federal government?
Well, you know, I guess we all would like to be away from the federal government. But if you look at governments all throughout our country, you know, you must accept what's there. And so why not Chattanooga get whatever the federal government, it's our money anyway. I mean, it's federal dollars and taxes. So it's money that we're just requesting back to come back to us to do good deeds.
There's been a lot of media coverage of gang violence for the past couple of years in Chattanooga. I want to ask you a two-part question. The first question is, do you think the problem with gangs in Chattanooga is as big as all the attention, all the hype, all the media coverage that it's getting? And secondly, how would you, if you were mayor, minimize gang violence here in Chattanooga?
Gangs, I don't want to call them gangs. These young thugs or hooligans, they are a problem. And it can be resolved with doing some natural policing. What was the second part?
How would you reduce gang violence?
I would reduce gang violence by putting in a 30-man task force that would work around the clock 24/7. And we're not going to give these guys an opportunity to breathe. If they sell dope, they're going to have to sell it by a carrier pigeon. Then if they do it that way, we're going to put a hawk in the air. Now, we can stop this because we are New York City or Atlanta, Georgia. To go to the east side, to the south side, It takes you 20 minutes. We know these young thugs. They live at home with their parents. Their parents know what they're doing. And so if it comes down to it, we will start giving citation to parents. If we catch a kid twice with drugs, then we want to, hey, then we're going to start charging the parents. I mean, we have got to stop the source where it starts from. And most of the time, it's in their home, no parental guidance, maybe some parental guidance, maybe the parents. Sometimes the parents are scared of these kids. I mean, some of these kids carrying guns, and 13, 14. You say, where you get them? When they're breaking somebody's house, they steal them. They sell them. And so a man got killed the other week, that on Wilcox. But when these individuals are caught, you're going to find out they're 15, 16, and 17 because he was a drug dealer. And they think, well, ain't nobody going to be concerned about a drug dealer. But these kids are monsters, and these kids need to be tried as adults. These kids need to be sent away for a while. I mean, because tell you what, taking a life, you can't give it back. Hey, a life is a precious thing that we have. But yet, when they get in the courtroom, they have crocodile tears in their mother and say, oh, they influenced my son. Well, you should have been a better influence on him. I mean, when the rubber meets the road, the parent is part of the problem also.
And what do you think your number one issue or concern is as a candidate?
My concern is crime, reducing sewer rates, put a moratorium on annexation. I mean, there's a lot of things have been done in this city by the Littlefield administration. It's been totally wrong, and it's hurt the average taxpayer.
Okay. You've got a couple of minutes left. Do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make?
Well, I would like to say this to the public. Trust is very important with anyone. What I've shared with you all today, I say, trust me, but verify. Trust, but verify my statements. I want to thank you for having me, too.
Thank you.